going to take a look at photography today and something called Photo Midwest 2010, a celebration of photographic art in Madison. And two guests, Bill Peelsticker and Patricia Delker, are with me today. They're two of the three chairs of Photo Midwest. It's a Madison event held every other year, and it promotes photography as both a hobby and as a career. And it kind of, I think, it kind of celebrates artists that who live in the Midwest, as well as those who may have spent some time here in the Midwest but have moved on. So I'm really pleased to have both of them with us today to talk about Photo Midwest, and we'll certainly talk about photography too. You may have questions about photography and taking photos, and we'd love to hear those too. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. And again, we'd love to hear from you. So join us. Bill Peelsticker, welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
Great to have you with us. And Patricia Delker, thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you. We're pleased to be here.
Bill and Patricia, well, I'll start with you, Bill. Photography is an avocation, vocation?
It's a vocation, one that I came to sort of late in life, in my late 30s. I wish it, I could say that it's providing a living for me, but that's still out in the future sometime, I think. But it's definitely a vocation. I can even say it changed my life.
It did. How so?
Well, I thought I was going to be a college professor teaching political science, and instead I'm a fine art photographer, a nature photographer. So that's quite a change.
That's a pretty big change. How about you, Patricia?
Well, I have a background in communication and art. That's what I graduated with, but I didn't come to photography probably until about 10 years ago, very seriously.
And been with it ever since. How did you happen to get into it?
Well, I reconnected with a college art professor who was very supportive of some very simple photos that I was doing. And I think everyone needs this in their mm-hmm. life. They need someone to say, you know, you have a good eye, you know, you have a good compositional sense with this, you know, why don't you look at this photographer, look at that photographer. And so he was very much a mentor and sort of pushed me in that direction, and I was happy to be pushed. I really enjoyed what I was seeing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, now tell us about this Photo Midwest 2010. What do we got here anyway?
Sure. This is a month-long celebration of the photographic arts. This is the
sixth biennial
event.
We say we do it every other year because it takes a year for us to recover.
Right. Patricia's been with it from the start. I came aboard this year. And it's a month-long event. It began in late September, actually, with the opening of the Seven State exhibit at mm-hmm. the Madison Union Directorate. And officially runs through the month of October. We have speakers, workshops, field trips, and we also have exhibits at over 36 locations around the Madison and Greater Madison area, as far away as Stoughton and Paoli and Prairie du Sac.
Yeah, so there are lots. And are these exhibitions, are they some of them juried? They all juried? Or are they? How does that work, Patricia?
The major juried exhibit is the Seven State Photography Competition. The juror for that was Russell Joslin, who is the editor and publisher of a Minnesota photography magazine called Shots. It really has an international following, particularly to galleries and museums. And he was the juror for the show. It involves the seven surrounding Midwest states of Minnesota, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, of course, Missouri, Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, and Illinois. And what it does, it's the kickoff event, but it also really incorporates the fact that we're trying to showcase photography in the Midwest. You know, on the East and West Coast and even in the South, photography is pretty hot. Mm-hmm. In the Midwest, we're quieter. about
quieter.
Things.
Yeah.
And we're trying to showcase what is actually happening in the Midwest, because there are some very accomplished and wonderful photographers that are living and working in the Midwest, and some who are actually had been born in the Midwest. So the Seven States starts that out with the idea that we're going to showcase what is going on in photography in these seven Midwest states.
And so is there a theme that the photographers had to come up with in order to enter this competition, or was it?
Not for the Seven State. You just submit what you are working on, what the series and body of work that you are working on. A lot of the call for entries, they go out locally as well to a variety of organizations, but they also go out to universities in that Seven State area. And so a lot of the work that you'll see will be from photography students in programs, MFA students, as well as other full-time professional and non-professional photographers.
And that really, although you say it's October, it really runs through that, runs through November 9th, isn't it?
That's correct.
And again, it's jointly sponsored by the Center for Photography of Madison, I believe, and the University of Wisconsin Union Directorate.
Correct. This is the fourth year that we've combined efforts. The first year that we worked together, we showcased the work of fine art photographer Keith Carter, who was here as our keynote speaker in 2002. And then we've worked together for Photo Midwest since then. And it's really a collaborative effort. And we're so pleased to have that association with the Wisconsin Union Directorate Art Committee, and they've been great to work with.
Yeah.
I'd sort of like to have Keith come back, because that's the only time my photos have been juried into the show. What we find, and if people say to themselves, gee, maybe I'd like to enter some contests, mm-hmm. or some exhibits, frequently it's best to look at the background and the interests of the juror. And so each time we do a Photo Midwest, at the Seven State exhibit, we have a different feel, a different approach,
yeah.
Based on the interests of the juror and the juror's judgment.
Yeah. And now again, people are probably saying, where again is this? Where can I go and see these photographs?
They're at the Porter Butts and Class of 1927 Gallery at the Union on Langdon.
Yeah, right, so at the Memorial floor. Union on the UW-Madison campus. What a great place to go anyway for anything else. And the exhibition is sure to be just outstanding.
Exactly. We're always really pleased with the images that come in from all the seven states. And it's amazing the diversity of images that you get. And you're surely will get some surprises when you go to see the exhibit.
And I have a really good friend of mine, Kurt Westbrook, is a photographer, and is actually he's exhibiting and showing here in the Madison area. I think he's part of the Pinney Street Library exhibition, and I think he's got
also
something.
Also at Mildred's Sandwich Shop.
At Mildred's Sandwich Shop. He does a lot of great nature photography. He and I roomed together for several years before we both went off and got married. But he's kept up his photography, and so it's sort of an example, I guess, of other places around town where you can go and see some fine photography.
Exactly. Yes. Have walls, photos will travel. I mean, as long as a venue has walls that are available to a photographer, we try to encourage them to possibly have an exhibit.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there a place where you can go to actually see where are all these exhibits?
Yes. We have two websites. The website for Photo Midwest is photomidwest.org. www.photomidwest.org. And the Center for Photography at Madison has its own website. That is cpmad.org. And you can get a link to Photo Midwest there, as well as information on the center, classes, and other events.
Tell you what, we've got some callers who've been waiting while Pam and Julia, they have questions about some technically oriented questions. So let's go to Pam. Thank you for waiting, Pam, in Spring Grove.
Spring Green, that's fine.
Spring Green, okay.
Yeah, I have a question. I need to finally get a digital camera, and I've been doing all kinds of research, and I need to narrow it down to a final recommendation. I want something reliable. I don't need the bells and whistles. I want something with at least a 10 or 12 zoom. I want to see the eyelashes on my cats and my kids, so I want fine detail and something that's not going to challenge me, so I'll never use it.
I will let Bill address the very technical questions about that, because I'm not a digital photographer and don't have a digital camera. I have a plain old 35-millimeter Pentax film camera.
Oh, you're still using that.
Yes, I'm a film girl. I'm a wet darkroom and silver gelatin print black and white photographer. So I'll let Bill answer that. But one of the things that I wanted to note with that question, I mean, that's a question that I think a lot of people are asking. And one of the things that is offered through the Center for Photography at Madison is an opportunity to connect with a class and an informational session that would address those very questions. Mm-hmm. What sort of digital camera should I be buying or I be looking into? So people might want to go to the Center for Photography at Madison website to take a look at what class opportunities or even what informational meeting opportunities would be available to answer that question.
And then we can turn it over to Bill here for some remarks. And I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break for a look at the news. Bill, you can ponder that. And Pam, you stay listening, and we will be back, and we'll have an answer to that. And we'll talk some more about Photo Midwest 2010 with our two guests, Bill Peelsticker and Patricia Delker. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Bill Peelsticker and Patricia Delker. Two of the three chairs of the Photo Midwest, a Madison event held every year, celebration of photographic art in Madison. So glad to have them along. And certainly if you want to join in with your own comments or questions as we move along, join in. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call, or email at talk@wpr.org. And Pam had wanted some advice. Bill, she's interested in getting a camera. She wants something that's fairly simple to use. Recommendations, and a lot of it, I think, depends on how a person wants to use it. In her case, she said, I want to be able to get the hairs on the whiskers on my cat and things of that nature.
That's right. Well, first off, I'm a Nikon shooter. I do use digital camera, but for landscape work, I still use a 4x5 film camera. But I've been asked a number of times over the last dozen years or so, what camera should I get? And pretty much my solution to the same question was to go to the camera company and lay out my preferences and my requirements and listen to their advice. Several years ago, I wanted to buy an easy-to-use camera for my wife, and I walked into the camera company. They gave me three choices, and within about 20 minutes, I was out of there with a camera that's worked very well. So that's what I would do.
You want to go to a professional, and actually, I think the one thing about cameras and using a camera is you have to try them out, and if you go to a camera store, you can feel them. How does the picture itself look when you look through the screen to you, and how easy is it to use for you? Sort of, I know I have other photographers said it's sort of like picking out a friend or a girlfriend or a mate even. You know, you have to try them out and practice a little bit and see what happens, and there you go. So, and Jim Packer's rolling his eyes at me right now.
First time I've heard it phrased that way.
He's rolling his eyes at me right now. God, could you have come up with a better description than that? But anyway, so there you have it. You've both talked, and we've been discussing photographic art in Madison and the show. And I'm wondering about, you know, most of us go out and we take some pictures or snapshots. What's the difference in your minds between a snapshot and photographic art? That's a big question.
Well, I'll start with that, Larry. Last fall, Tracy Madison and I actually taught a class called "From Moving from Snapshots to Photographs," and a lot of it comes down to what is your intent with the photograph. Snapshots generally provide visual records of vacations, of kids' hockey games, other things like that. When you move from making a basic snapshot to making a photograph, you generally think in advance of what you're trying to accomplish, and there's a purpose behind it that's more than just recording something. And ultimately, when you start putting additional photographs together, you form a body of work, and that body of work tells a story or presents an idea or a reflection. Patricia probably can explain that even better than I can.
Well, I like to talk in my classes about making photography and making photography art has to do with intent, like Bill said, but also it's issue-oriented. I like to boil it down maybe to one phrase that says photography is not a photograph of something. It's a photograph about something.
About something. Oh, that's a nice way to put it. And so you teach classes that way in that?
The classes that I teach usually have to do with a lot of times with personal vision classes, giving people that extra little push beyond making snapshots into making a larger body of work, working on a series, working on a story or a narrative. And that's one of the things that I tell them. Think about making photographs about something, which will enlarge your ideas, I think, about making pictures and photography.
Can you give me another example of that? A photograph about something?
Well, in my own work, I maintain that I'm not making necessarily pictures of the object in front of the camera. I'm making photographs of the intangible. I actually try to photograph the intangible, which are things like memory, time, mystery, faith, you know, these larger issues that come up, and you create pictures that have their roots in those larger, more abstract issues than I'm going to make a lovely picture of this sunset.
Yeah. Right. And actually, people can see a good example of that with Patricia's exhibit, which is currently at the Steenbach Gallery in Madison. Isn't that right?
Right, until Friday, the end of Friday.
So it's coming down in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's been up since mid-September, but it's actually... And
what's its theme?
It's called And Still There Are Secrets, and it's about my secrets, but with the idea that even though these are images about my secrets, we all carry around secrets with us. And so when the viewer views them, it's with the idea of not so much knowing what my secrets are, but what these images trigger in them in terms of their unconscious secrets or even conscious secrets.
Very cool. And I know, Bill, that you have an exhibit as well.
I do. Primary exhibit is at the Wisconsin Historical Museum on the square here in Madison, and it's an exhibit which features the work of myself and Tracy Madison. Over the last 2 years, we revisited 15 sites where the 19th century photographer H.H. Bennett, famous for his depictions of the Dells, made photographs, and we sought to locate the tripod holes that he used 120 years ago. Only once or twice did we actually find tripod holes, I think. But we present 15 pairs of images, and it's essentially like a time machine where we show his original image alongside the image as it looks, the view as it looks today. And it's up to the viewer to determine, you know, what's changed, how much it's changed, and if there's a story behind the change.
We'll be talking about H.H. Bennett next week, as a matter of fact, on this program. Sarah Rath will be stopping by.
She has her new book out.
She has a new book out on H.H. Bennett, and I'm forgetting the day that she's on next week. But she is on next week, one day next week, in this 11 to 12:30 time slot. Julia in Mondovi's been waiting a long time. Julia, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, for a person that would like to take photography classes, or possibly, I know I've heard a lot of times, become a certified photographer, are there schools around? I'd be looking specifically in areas of like central Wisconsin or in the Minneapolis area, which would be much closer than Madison for me, or in the California area, which would be in the LA area.
Hmm.
Well, locally, I would suggest that you possibly look into classes at MATC. They have a really fine photography program for the commercial photographer, someone who's interested in editorial or commercial photography. And so they have a pretty good 2-year program.
MATC?
That's Madison
Area Technical College.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I think they've changed
now. Madison College.
Madison College now, that's it's
right.
called.
Is there anything that would be any closer north-wise or in the Minneapolis area that you would know of? Or how would is there actually a way to look up schools specifically for professional photography?
I'm quite sure there's something available in the Minneapolis area. I would sit down at my computer and do a Google search with Minneapolis and photography courses or photography degrees.
I think you have to be very aware of, when you're looking for schools, exactly the sort of program and things that you're interested
right.
in getting into, because there would be, you know, 4-year university programs with an emphasis on art and photography, which will take you one direction. Then there are the more schools that are vocationally have a more vocational bent to them. And so you really need to be certain of the level that you want to get into it before you start searching.
That's good question. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Kind of along those lines, Lynn emailed in, wonders, does the Center for Photography offer black and white photography classes for beginners? It gives us an opportunity to talk a little more about the Center for Photography anyway, but...
Well, since the Center for Photography was chartered in 1998 as a 501c3, it was based largely on education, and so we have offered over 120 classes during that time and 20 workshops with visiting significant photographers. We have a dark room, a black and white dark room at CPM, and we have the availability to provide some beginning instruction for people who are interested in that. And many of the courses that are offered don't necessarily have an emphasis on black and white photography per se, but the larger issues that they deal with would be beneficial in terms of whether you're doing black and white or color photography.
Okay. So, and again, the Center for Photography has a website.
Yes, cpmad.org.
cpmad.org.
That's right.
Okay. So they're a good place, obviously a good place. How many? 100? Some?
Over 120 classes
wow.
since we've started.
Oh, that's one. And some more classes to come and some... And I want to, Ron, I'll get to you in just a minute here, but I also wanted to bring up that in the way of education and hearing speakers, there are some speakers. There's an event coming up right quick.
Right. During the course of Photo Midwest 2010, we've incorporated 5 lectures into it. There are 2 more speakers who are yet to come in. One of them is tonight at CPM facilities at 303 South Patterson. We'll be speaking Kevin Miyazaki, who is a Milwaukee-based commercial and editorial photographer whose images have been shown in published in a lot of magazines, newspapers, whatever. But he's going to be primarily talking about his fine artwork, which include a series of images called Camp Home, which are based on the fact that his father was in one of the World War II Japanese internment camps, Tule Lake. And his project has to do with going around and finding the buildings that had been part of that internment camp and photographing what they are now being used for. And so that's one of his projects. Another one has to do with the look of fast food establishments on the American landscape. So that's another series that he'll be talking about. And that's tonight at 7 o'clock at CPM.
And that's located on
303 South Patterson
South
Street.
Patterson. Right.
And then finally, our final speaker is Ted Orland, who began in 1966 with photography when he enrolled in an Ansel Adams Yosemite photography workshop.
Wow.
And he ended up being Ansel Adams' assistant in the 60s and 70s. He's written a fantastic book for all artists called Art and Fear. And then he did another follow-up book called View from the Studio Door, which discusses the pitfalls that you run into as an artist and as a photographer and how to get around them. And he has also, in the last few years, he's been a tripod and landscape, large format camera person for many years. But in the last few years, he's embraced the Holga plastic camera, which is a very cheap, about $27 camera that shoots 120 film. And he says that he's gone to this camera because he felt that life was passing him by as he was setting up his tripod. So he's quite engaging, he's quite humorous, and he has a lot to say about photography and art. And he's our last speaker, and he will be speaking October 28th at 7 p.m. In the L140 in the Chazen Museum.
Chazen Museum. All right. Well, I want to give Ron a chance. He's been waiting a while here. Ron in Trempealeau County, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hey, hi. Hey, I'm glad to hear that there's some people besides me are still shooting black and white film. And I kind of have a couple questions which kind of relate to that. Maybe it's just because the gallery that I work with here in Trempealeau County is not in a really good location, but it kind of seems to me that black and white is becoming less and less popular in terms of the market goes. And I'm just wondering if you have any sense of what that's all about, and if it has anything to do with another thing that I've noticed, that the kinds of ideas that are coming being expressed photographically are changing as we become adopt more of the digital technology, in which it seems like the art is created mainly on the computer after the capture, as opposed to a visualization that is, or an experience of a moment that is captured at the time of the click of the shutter of the camera, and I'm just wondering if you have any ideas on how photography is changing because of the digital revolution mm-hmm. in terms of the ideas being expressed and the whole approach to photography.
Yeah, although I have to say on the black and white side, I can remember dodging and doing some things to manipulate my photos in the dark room with film, too.
Exactly. I think photography and photographs have always had the ability to be manipulated. It's just the way that you're choosing to do that now, whether you're sitting down with a mouse in front of a computer or whether you're, you know, standing over a tray of chemicals in the dark room or, you know, and maybe in some alternative process. So,
yeah, Ron, I hope you were wrong in your first question, your observation that perhaps the interest in black and white photography in galleries is waning. Just in the last year, I've begun to present some of my own landscape work in black and white as opposed to color. And I'm really enervated by what I'm seeing there, first on the computer screen, because I do work in a digital darkroom, and then in the prints. So I hope there's still a very good future for black and white photography. How it's changing, it's an interesting question. I think there is a lot of digital creation, a lot more potential manipulation that can be done with the computer. But as you say, ultimately, many of us still look for an expression of a feeling or the rendering of a scene in a particular way that doesn't rely on tricks and gimmicks. Patricia, you don't use the...
No, but I'm thinking that, I mean, there's a historical perspective here, too. Photography has historically been a changing medium over the last, you know, number of years that it's been in existence. There's always been new changes, new innovations, new techniques, new processes. And I think each time that that happens, it's been a benefit to photography, and I think the digital thing will be a benefit for photography, too. Basically, what it's done is it's just opened up some more territory. I mean, it's just allowed photographers yet another way to work. I mean, they can choose to work digitally, but, you know, because of photography's history, they can choose to use old, you know, processes like Van Dyke printing and contact printing and cyanotypes, which was one of, so it's just like, it's just enlarged and blossomed and opened up the field even more.
But I do like the black and white photos. This week in Sports Illustrated, there was a picture taken by Vern Beaver, who was the Green Bay Packers photographer from 1940 until he died just recently at about 90 years of age, and they chose a black and white photo that he had taken of one of the Green Bay Packers, just a face shot, and it was really really something. The emotion in the Forrest Gregg, I think it was, in his face, and the dirt and crust and so forth told a story to me.
Well, color can be very, very
tricky. And this was black and white.
Well, color, but can be very tricky in that if you have a color image, it's so very possible for the picture to be about the color, that you are pulled into it and you are enraptured by the color in the image rather than, you know, maybe some other elements of the image that you were finding in the black and white image. You know, had you been, you know, faced with a whole lot of color in that image, it may not have generated that same feeling or given that same connection that you felt with it.
I would think, yeah. Bill, comment?
Well, in converting some of my landscapes, I'm finding that the underlying structure is what really works with a black and white photograph. That there are
now, what do you mean by that?
The lines, the way lines work, the way the light reflects off of things.
The shadows.
It's very much an issue of light and shadow, which, of course, is the basis for photography. But there are some cases where you remove the color and it's not nearly as interesting. And that's exactly the case that I think Patricia was talking about. And it's been surprising to me to see that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's this whole celebration of photographic art in the Midwest. You know, you're kind of right, Patricia. Sometimes we don't talk so much about it, you know, that Midwest ethos, I guess, or whatever you might say. So it's good to celebrate the really great photographic artists that we have here, not only in Wisconsin but through the Midwest. And I want to go back to Photo Midwest 2010, and just run by quickly again what we've got for what people can see.
Well, for one thing, we have a Sandhill Crane field trip coming up this Saturday. And you can find details of that online at photomidwest.org. We have exhibits in 36 or more locations, workshops, and it's a great way to see what other people are doing and maybe learn to do something a little different yourself.
And that seven-state juried exhibition of photographers from just around the Midwest is right at the Memorial Union, Wisconsin Memorial Union, which is a great place to go anyway. And I think for the events and for finding all that information out of where people can go, the Center for Photography, the place to go?
That's one place, cpmad.org or photomidwest.org.
Great pleasure to speak with both of you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry.
And two of the great photographers whose exhibits you're going to see, Bill Peelsticker and Patricia Delker, our guests today here on the Ideas Network. Photo Midwest 2010. Sounds like a lot of fun and really interesting. Tomorrow, we've got a garden talk. We'll take a look at urban and suburban meadows. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.